And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Andy Staples Show. We've been doing a lot of pre-draft stuff, and we're going to keep doing that. There's some really fascinating prospects in the draft this year, and obviously we like to say goodbye to the guys we've been watching in college and wish them well in the NFL. But here's a guy that I bet most of you did not watch in college. Quinn Meinerz played at Division III Wisconsin Whitewater, and you may not have heard of him yet, but you're going to hear of him a lot over the next few months. This is one of the fastest rising guys on a lot of teams' draft boards. He's an offensive lineman. He lit it up at the Senior Bowl. He has a great story because he didn't even know he was going to be at the Senior Bowl until December. And he's playing a position he's never really played before in center. He had to teach himself how to snap. Quinn Meinerz is one of those fascinating prospects in the draft. He's going to talk about learning to snap, putting that to use against 300-pound dudes that are really, really good athletes when he's not really done it at all. And he's also going to give us some great life advice. He will tell you why you need to let the belly breathe. So here is my interview with Quinn Meinerz. So Quinn Meinerz, you are in Frisco, Texas. You are training, still in training for the draft. You've had the Senior Bowl. You've got pro day is next, right? So how does that work now in a pandemic? How does pro day work?
Yeah, so I'm training, training here at Exos, preparing for a pro day. I'll be coming back up to Wisconsin. I think a week tomorrow or something like that. Maybe 2 weeks. I don't know. I got the days all messed up, but I'll be back in Wisconsin on March 2nd, and that'll give me some time to, get locked and loaded with, the weather and traveling and stuff. So yeah, I'll be having my own pro day at Whitewater on March 9th.
I mean, so folks who don't know that, people who listen to this follow college football pretty close, so they should already know this. But Wisconsin Whitewater is a machine. It is a Division III dynasty. It's basically you guys in Mount Union, right?
Yeah. That's like kind of the big history. Unfortunately, like in my career, I wasn't able to play Mount Union. But yeah, there's a huge history and tradition, at Whitewater. We produce a lot of, great teams, great players and stuff like that. So yeah, Whitewater's a, for Division III, it's, kind of usually, we're usually top three. In the mix.
So how did you wind up deciding on Whitewater? Because it is, like we said, one of the best programs in Division III, but I imagine you probably had some interest Division II and maybe even SCS. How did your recruitment go?
Yeah, recruitment for me was pretty minimal. I had one Division II offer at St. Cloud State in Minnesota, and then a handful of Division IIIs. I had no Division I whatsoever offers. And I'm asking the same question of why, even to
yeah.
this day.
Was it a size thing? Were you small? Was it?
No, I was 6'2", 315 right tackle. So I'm like maybe wow. height, but like, to go on top of that, I'm a humble person, but to talk a little more, I mean, I went to state my senior year for wrestling and I placed fifth in Division I, which is the biggest division.
Yeah.
And I also was, throwing the shot put pretty far. Like on my farthest throw my senior year to go to state, I took third place with 55 feet. So like, I wasn't like a bottom of the totem pole athlete, in Wisconsin. It was, I was honorable mention all state for offensive line and defensive line. I did play in our all-star game. I don't know. I'm asking the same questions, but at the end of the day, I wouldn't trade it for anything. I had a great experience on Whitewater.
Well, and the way things worked out for you is so interesting. I really want to get into it because you kind of exploded at the Senior Bowl. People knew, okay, here's this guy from Wisconsin Whitewater. It's a really good program, but can he handle playing against Division I type talent? And you're playing against like Levi, and I'm going to butcher his last name. I'm so sorry. Onswerki from Washington. You're playing against a lot of big time talent guys who are going to go early in the draft and holding your own. What was that like, you know, getting to that level and, you know, getting to play against that level that you'd seen on TV, but hadn't really had a chance to play against?
Yeah. I mean, I can talk a lot about it. You know, I had a lot of things, you know, going against me with, you know, Division III, being a small school guy. You know, I didn't have a season this year because of COVID. So I wasn't able to have a 2020 season to, you know, keep progressing, you know, that way. You know, I kind of took the things that I had and just, you know, did my best. You know, I trained as hard as I could without, you know, football for, you know, the last, you know, year. I, you know, took underneath my belt to learn center. And, you know, when it came to the moment, it was just be who I am and do what I've been doing. So, and it definitely worked out. You know, I was holding my own against some of these guys. You know, I was able to watch film on them and see, you know, before the week, I was able to watch some film on them and see, you know, what they do, what they don't do. And,
yeah.
And certain things like that, just to give my advantage of being small school.
Well, that's the thing. You had tape on them. They didn't have any tape on you. But yep. Even if they'd had tape on you, that's the thing that I found interesting. You know, our draft guys mentioned this because he got a hold of your Whitewater tape from 2019. And then I talked to Jim Nagy from the Senior Bowl, and he said the same thing, where the 2019 tape does not look like what you look like at the Senior Bowl. And you mentioned that you took it upon yourself to learn to play center. You were playing guard. You'd never snapped? Like you mentioned you played tackle in high school. So you'd never snapped. How did you go about this past fall learning how to snap without games, practices?
Yeah, so it's a great question. You know, I kind of took it upon myself to kind of learn center. I understood like early that if I wanted to, you know, pursue this thing as the next level and playing in the NFL, you don't just play a guard unless you're someone like Quentin Nelson, where it's like, yep, I'm left guard. Most people are not. I'm left guard. So for the most part, you got to be able to play both interior three. And, you know, it started off when we initially had, you know, the quarantine and everyone was kind of stuck at home. I fortunately, I had a weight room in my basement at home. So I was able to work out there. And then in my backyard, I was practicing snapping into garbage cans. We had like a little, a nice little
shotgun snapping into garbage cans.
Yeah. I started a YouTube channel so that way I could record myself every day on my GoPro, and then I could rewatch the clips of, you know, whatever I was trying to work on that day. So I would break it up throughout the week to like what type of whether I was doing like inside zone steps, outside zone steps, pulling steps, or, you know, pass pro sets. So I was able to kind of film those individually, and, you know, if I'm taking a certain step to the left and the ball keeps doing blank, I can kind of manipulate and just kind of get that feedback.
We'll be right back after these words.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
We got to talk about the YouTube channel, because my favorite video is probably the same one everybody says. It is the outdoor Canada workout where you've taken, is that's your weight equipment from your basement, right? That you've taken outside in Canada on your great uncle has a fishing camp, right?
Yeah. Yeah. My great uncle Tim. Yeah. He owns the island up there and does this fishing camp. Yeah. So that was the original weight set that we had in the basement. And it was one of those things where my dad wanted to upgrade, but kind of needed a reason to upgrade. So I was like, hey, can I take this up there? And he goes, perfect. Get, you take it, get rid of it. I can get a new set and new stuff. Yeah, because my dad.
I do that with TV sometimes.
It's funny. He always got to have a little excuse to, you know, kind of upgrade or whatever. So that was a perfect timing. But yeah, that was what I was doing up in the island.
I mean, it's great though, because it is pure Rocky IV. You are Rocky. We need to have like one of these like Alabama, like Landon Dickerson needs to have the Drago version of this workout at the Alabama football facility. Although Landon is more of a Rocky type himself, but you know, we got to keep the theme going, because it is my favorite is the zone steps against a tree. That's probably my favorite of your outdoor workouts, where you are working zone steps against a tree.
Yeah. I was just trying to use that. You know, I feel like I've kind of a, you know, a little bit of a creative mind to be able to, you know, think of certain things. So I'm able to, you know, use a tree and line them up as different techniques over me. Cause yeah, certain drills we do at Whitewater will line up against like our goalpost to get like, you know, double team fits and stuff. So I kind of took that idea and I was like, all right, well, I got to practice my punch, and punching a tree hurts a lot actually. So that's, so, you know, you build up a little bit of pain tolerance.
If you can dodge a tree, you can dodge a ball. If you can reach an outside shaded tree, you can reach an outside shaded human. So
yeah.
But how much fun was that for you to kind of get into the nuts and bolts of it? And you also train with Duke Manyweather at OL Masterminds, so one of the preeminent offensive line gurus. You were working with Rashawn Slater, who's played at Northwestern, who's one of the top tackles in the draft. Did that help, you know, getting to see a guy like that next to you give you confidence? Hey, you know what? I can do this. I can play with these guys.
It was honestly a great experience. You know, Duke's a great guy. Rashawn's also a great guy. It was really cool to have that chance to come down to MJP and spend a couple weeks together, you know, with Duke, and, you know, perfecting, you know, my stance and how I get out of my stance, and just, you know, overall, you know, demeanor and mindset of an offensive lineman. And yeah, it was special to be able to work out with, you know, Rashawn Slater. That was kind of like my first, you know, chance to see like up in person, you know, what, you know, Division I or a high, you know, NFL prospect is like. So it was really cool to, you know, meet him, hang out, talk a little bit, you know, and you know, kind of, you know, become friends. And it was a really cool experience.
So it when you first meet him and you're first working out next to Rashawn, I guess it can go one of two ways, where it's, oh my God, look at the physical attributes here. This is what a first round tackle looks like. Or, okay, I see where I can do some of this stuff, and I have a shot to be this.
Yeah, I've been working hard for a really long time. So I, like, in the back of my head, I was kind of like, you know, I'm not going to be like horrible, but it's how close can I be, I guess, to someone like Rashawn. So it was cool to, you know, go through some of those workouts together and, you know, try to get as close as I can to what he's doing. Cause I always want to try to be the best in the room or whatever like that. So I'm willing to do kind of whatever it takes. So it was cool to have that, you know, the competitive, you know, lifting of me and him being partners. And it was really fun.
So, I mean, you took a risk with this choice though, because when the Division III season isn't happening, you decided, okay, I'm going to start training for the draft, but you didn't have the greatest tape. We've talked about that. How did you know that you were going to be able to get a chance to prove yourself? Cause it, you know, if Landon doesn't get hurt, you might not get that Senior Bowl invite and you might not have that chance to show what you could do. How much of a leap of faith was that to say, you know what, I'm just going to train, and when I got my chance, I'm going to show them.
You know, whenever I tried to make big decisions like that, I try to, you know, make pros and cons, different ideas. And I talked to as many people as I could. So I would say it was more of a calculated decision. So I originally kind of took up the, you know, there's kind of three options here. It was come back to Whitewater, transfer to a bigger school and try to eliminate that level of competition question. Or it's, hey, let's, you know, take the hype that I've generated and, you know, all the stuff that I've been doing, and let's move forward with that. And, you know, with a bunch of, you know, me looking at the information and my dad looking at it, and, you know, eventually, you know, figuring out who my agent was going to be. It was just a culmination of the right information to make a calculated thing of like, hey, I'm ready to do this.
So what's that like when you get to the Senior Bowl? And for those who know, the game itself, and we'll get into to your experience with the game itself, is secondary to what you do in the practices, what you do in the meetings. But those practices are so important when you're trying to show teams something. And you had the Dolphins coaching staff, and you're lined up against some really good players. What's going through your mind on some of those first reps when you've got those guys over you?
Yeah, I would say like a conditional mindset is be myself and do what I got to do. And another thing is you know, knowing who I'm going against and kind of looking back to that little database that I had in my head of notes. And yeah, just doing, you know, doing what I've been taught, you know, throughout Whitewater, you know, take some of the tips and things that Duke was able to provide me with those couple of weeks and just perform and do it. And that's kind of, you just got to do it at that point. Like you're there, you got to do it. So
who was the guy who you thought challenged you the most? Who was the most fun, most challenging to go against?
I would say the most fun and challenging was going against Osa Odigizuwe from UCLA. From
UCLA. Yep.
Yeah. I think there would have been a lot more fun with Levi if he, you know, was able to finish the practices, because
right,
the first practice he was really challenging like the snap count and the cadence. So, you know, snapping was already a very new thing to me, and now I have
that's right,
a defensive lineman I got to reach and snap and whatever. So I was,
and he's looking at you like, I got your body language down, I'm seeing you fly, I know exactly when you're going to snap.
Yeah, so I was, you know, giving him keys, and I was, you know, being too true to the cadence of not like anticipating it a little bit more. But, you know, it was little things like that that, you know, made me enjoy the battles that I had with Osa or him on the first day. Mm-hmm. It was just because I was able to kind of, you know, progress. I feel like I was able to progress a lot every day of practice because, you know, there were little things like that I was able to kind of correct.
And so you broke your hand during one of the practices and begged them to let you play. But what the Dolphins coaching staff said, no, we've seen enough. You've proven enough. Did you? You got victory formation snaps? Is that what happened?
Yeah, that was the, you know, the ending of the conversation. But yeah, I don't know when or how I broke my hand. The initial pain started when we were doing indie drills, and my hand got stuck behind the pad as I was trying to drive through. Ooh. I don't know. It hurt then, and I just taped it up and buddy taped them and just continued practice. So I probably made it worse, but yeah, I continue to practice.
But you don't know when the adrenaline's going. I had a deal when I was, this was probably, I guess, like 5 years ago. I had a problem with my foot, and I went to a podiatrist, and he x-rayed it, and he goes, when'd you break your foot? And I said, I've never broken my foot. And he points at it, and he goes, yes, you did right there. And I said, oh, I know when that happened. And it was my freshman year of college. In practice, on scout team, Mo Collins, who wound up playing left tackle for a long time in the NFL, he'd had a deal with an agent. He'd gotten suspended for a few games, so they made him play scout team. His punishment was to have to play next to me. And he had, because I'm so slow, had stepped on my foot. And apparently he'd broken it, but I didn't know it for 20 years. So you, wow, just, sometimes you just don't know.
But yeah, I really, that's funny. That's a funny story. But yeah, I really didn't know. I finished practice during our Friday walkthrough. You know, I kind of like a little brace on and trying to go through some of the motions. And Coach Flo comes up to me and he goes, yeah, you're not playing in the game.
I was like, oh, that's so wrong.
And I was like, really? And he goes, yeah, you know, you've proven everything you needed to prove this week. You know, I have a bad feeling about it, and I just want you to, you know, heal up and be safe.
What does it mean to you, though, when the coach of the Miami freaking Dolphins says you've proven everything you needed to prove this week?
Like initially, I was like, I mean, my initial thought was, no, I didn't. my initial thought was, you practice all week for the game. Like, I just have a different mentality. Like, I understand the practices are important and the interviews are, But like, I wanted to play in the game. Like, I haven't played in a game in so long. Like,
yeah,
just running through the tunnel to go to practice. Like, it was just like the adrenaline of that. So like, I missed all of that. So I wanted to be able to play in the game because it's been so long. But yeah, you know, it was a cool and special moment. You know, I try to talk to him to let me, you know, hey, can I get like maybe one or two drives or something like that? But we agreed on if there's victory, I get to go in. And there was kind of a funny moment on the field. So I knew we were going to be going into victory, and I was already in the huddle. I was already in the huddle. Like, I was waiting for that moment. And Coach and Coach Flo was actually yelling for me, but I was already in the huddle. Like, I'm already here. I was ready. I was ready for my two snaps. So, yeah.
Listen, that's what coaches want. They want to know you're going to be where you're supposed to be. So, I can't imagine how much the way you handle that situation helped. Because it seems like that's exactly what they're looking for. How many times did you get the question or a variation of the question Senior Bowl week from team personnel? How much do you love football?
Yeah, I think that's one of their kind of standard questions. And I mean, I think coming from, you know, not even, you know, John, even just coming from a Division III school, like, we're not on scholarship. We're doing the same thing as Division I guys do. We're waking up super early, doing our workouts, doing the off-season stuff. We have spring ball. Like, we're doing everything the same. So a lot of these guys, you know, in Division III really love the game of football. Like, they're doing it, you know, for the love and the passion. I think that speaks a lot of volumes. But also, like, how I want to play in the game. Like, that's the, you know, like, I'm gonna say it again. You practice so you can play in the game. So, like,
of course.
Why would I?
So the games are what makes it worth it. That's what makes all the lifting and everything else worth it. Now, I do. Now, you mentioned D3, no scholarships. Did you have to work during college? I imagine you did some work for your uncle, judging by your workout, because some of that wood chopping, you've done that before. That clearly is something you've put in your 10,000 hours at.
Yeah, no work up in Canada. It was just workouts and fishing.
Yeah.
I think a fun outdoor thing was chopping wood. You know, sometimes you get a little cabin fever with how hot it is, no AC and stuff like that. So he goes, hey, just go chop some wood. It'll make you feel better. So
it's your leisure activity.
So
some energy.
Yeah. Go split some wood, you know, get, you know, two jobs done, you know. I missed the original question. My bad.
I don't even know what it was. Did you have to work during college, or did you have to work going into college to say, because somebody's got to pay that tuition?
Yeah, so I was able to, you know, make a lot of money early throughout like high school and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I was able to build up a lot of money. My dad helped me a lot through college as well. That was kind of, you know, he set up an account for me, you know, very young, like when I was very young. I believe the account is like 529.
529. I have an 11-year-old and a 9-year-old, so I've got a couple of those.
Yeah. So he was able to help a lot. So I mean, most of the stuff I was able to do has been, you know, because of my dad, and how much support he has, you know, not only emotionally, but like with, you know, the financial side of things as well.
And saying, I need a new weight set, so can you please take this one to Canada?
Yeah.
That's a dad who cares. Now, did he play football too, or are you first generation football, or is it in the family?
Not a ton of sports are in the family. My grandpa was a pole vaulter in high school.
Really?
Yeah. And my great uncle Tim, mm-hmm. you know, from the Canada Island, he played football as well. But like, there's not a lot of, you know, athletes, I guess you could say.
We'll be right back after this message from one of our lovely sponsors.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
You said you wrestled, you threw the shot put, you played football. Were you the kid growing up that played every sport?
Yeah, I wanted to do everything that I could, you know, like throughout. You know, youth football. I didn't do a lot of youth wrestling because I just didn't like the way the pressure of wrestling was too much. I tried it one time in middle school and I didn't really like it. So I stuck to basketball for a little bit. And then when I went into high school as a freshman, a junior on the offensive line at the high school was like, dude, if you want to be good at football, do wrestling. So he convinced me to come out for wrestling. And he realized
that every wrestling practice is harder than the hardest football practice.
Yes, and it progressively gets worse throughout the year.
Exactly right. Where they do all the running, and they're like, okay, now we're going to go on the mat. And it's like,
yep.
Really?
Yeah, we do all that running on the mat, and then we do conditioning drill work. And heavyweights is just horrible because when we're doing double leg takedowns and stuff against each other, we're both 260 pounds. That's rough, and it's doing it as fast as you can in a minute.
Yeah, and the double underhooks and all that. I remember it well. It was done for football. Every moment you're like, this is making me better at football. This is why I'm doing this.
But
none of this is fun. So
no, it's a lot of mental toughness building.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I mean, how much does it help? I mean, Dalvin Tomlinson, who plays for the Giants, was a fantastic wrestler in Georgia, and I am convinced had he been born in Iowa and not Georgia, he would have been like a U.S. Olympic wrestler instead of a football player. But how much did it help you in terms of leverage and using your hands and just understanding how to move people?
100%. Like any football player I talk to, especially a lineman, I'll be like, you have to do wrestling. Like that's just one of those things. You know, it's not only footwork and reacting to things. It's, hand placement and understanding, certain leverage points and stuff. You know, you're not going to get a perfect punch every single time, but maybe if you slip into an underhook and you have those 4 years of wrestling in high school, you're like, okay, I remember this. I remember the underhook, and you can kind of do a little, I mean, you even see some defensive linemen doing that as part of some of their moves, the little,
just don't drop into the fireman's carry. I think they'll call you for a hold on that one.
Yeah, that was a hard move for me to learn, and I never did that in competition. That's just I don't trust.
You're wrestling heavyweight. You're not gonna. You don't want some dude crashing down on your head.
I didn't do it. I just did a lot of single leg and double leg takedowns. Not fireman's carry. That's a little guy move. But that's drilling it. I hated drilling it at practice because coach didn't care.
Oh yeah. No, everybody's got to do it. So, all right, we got to talk about your signature. And I love what you're doing with this, by the way. So for those who saw Quinn at the Senior Bowl, there's probably one part of his body you saw the most. He rocks the crop top at practice. His belly shows. It's just like Ezekiel Elliott or DK Metcalf's. I mean, you can't see it in the video here, but I promise you, it's like an 8-pack. But no, so you are doing for the keg what Zeke did for the 6-pack, and I notice you're selling Belly of the Beast T-shirts, and it's for a good cause.
Yeah, so I'll kind of start from the backstory of the whole belly thing. You know, I've been rocking crop tops at practice since high school. I mean, that's just. You know, it gets hot during fall camp. I don't care where you're at. It gets hot in fall camp. You know, I understand.
Even in Wisconsin.
Even in Wisconsin, it gets hot in humid during fall camp. So, you know, always rock the crop top. You know, it was always, so hot. It was just awesome. You know, let the belly breathe. That's kind of something I've been saying a lot, but that's just facts. So that was kind of cool to see how that took off at the Senior Bowl. You know, my mindset of coming into Senior Bowl is just be myself. And you know, be me. And that was something that was always a part of what I did, at practice was having the crop top out. And when I saw that kind of take off, I mean, all of my social media stuff kind of went, you know, insane. Like I maybe had 900 followers and most of them were like from, you know, high school friends or teammates or just certain other people that I meet. And I mean, now I'm almost at 11,000 followers.
Wow.
I've gained a lot of following on Twitter from the Senior Bowl. And it's really cool. And I really appreciate all of it from everybody. And so I wanted to take that and do something good with it. You know, I don't really enjoy having the spotlight on me. I kind of wanted to put it on.
Right. You're an offensive lineman.
Put it on to someone else. So, you know, there's a really cool story. You know, it's a sad story, but it's something that means a lot to me. My offensive line coach in high school, his daughter, you know, suffers from an extremely rare disease, like a GLUT1 disorder. I mean, she's like the only person, you know, if not the only person in the world that has this. So she's, you know, not really been able to have, you know, the greatest, you know, childhood of constantly, you know, flying around and constantly in hospitals and stuff like that. And if you look on the Facebook page of Hugs for Elena, there's a lot more information on there. But yeah, I created a shirt and it was cool to, you know, have a shirt that represented like me having the belly out and stuff like that. But then also to take that money that's raised through those shirts and to be able to give it back to, you know, a person that means a lot to me, you know, Elena and, you know, the whole family of the Shelstas.
Well, you'll be getting an extra large order coming in very soon. So I'm awesome. Rocking one. I don't know that I can show off my own belly. I think I'm at 42 years old, just too old for that.
You just got to be confident and let it out.
Ah, you're probably right. You're probably right. Yeah. I got to do it. Because I know when I was 20, I would have done it. I'd have been like,
screw it.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Exactly. So, but no, that is a great cause. And, you know, it's interesting to me because, you know, when I see guys moving on from college to the NFL, a lot of times it's sort of shocking to them how big their platform gets and you have a choice of what to do with it. You know, when you realize that you were reaching people, how quickly did that turn to what can I do with this? How can I do good with this?
Like I would say almost instantly. I've been thinking of stuff since high school. You know, I've always wanted to do something special, you know, for my coach, Coach Shelsta. I always wanted to do something special for him. You know, I understood, you know, what kind of stress that he was going through. I mean, he was a teacher, you know, during the day was a coach at night and also had to, you know, be a dad. And that's, you know, just a regular life. That's a tough thing to do. And then to have that also the extra layer of stuff happening. So that's something from high school I've always wanted to do. And right after the Senior Bowl, I was trying to figure out something to do. Cause it was like, all right, hey, I got this momentum. Now this is the time. Cause I never had like a specific idea of what I wanted to do. It was like, I want to do something. And then ideas started churning and it's like, all right, let's do this. This is the plan.
That's awesome. That is awesome. And now, we talked earlier about when you were coming out of high school and you had all those questions. Why didn't you get recruited? What was the issue? What was the deal? That's all going to go away. You're going to get drafted into the NFL now, and it's going to be, you know, up to you to make it in the NFL. But does it blow your mind? Can you imagine what you'd go back to say to that kid coming out of high school, getting one D2 offer and you know, no D1 interest? Hey, you're going to play in the NFL.
Yeah, I think, you know, like my senior year high school self probably would not have believed it whatsoever. I kind of, you know, I had no Division I offers, you know, that one Division II offer, and it was like all D3. You know, my initial mindset kind of going into college is I got 4 more years to play football. So I wanted to make the most of those 4 years. So I was, you know, super motivated in the weight room, you know, in practice and trying to become the best football player I could be before, you know, it was time to hang them up. So, and the fact that I'm here at this moment is just, it's insane. I know a lot of people, you know, dream come true, but yeah, I mean, coming out of high school, I got 4 more years to play ball.
You got a few more than that now. Quinn Meinerz, thank you so much